28.
Right, so 28. We are looking at chapter 28 of Tanya. And that's right. Okay, so we're talking about dealing with difficult situations which are basically in one's own mind or happening around one. Have you got that? Chapter 28.
Sorry.
1, 2, 1.
1, 2, 1.
Okay, I've got it now.
Yeah, chapter 26.
Right. 1, 2, 1. Okay, yeah. So the theme that Tanya began in chapter 26 is the idea of being joyful. And if a person is joyful, they are more able to deal with the challenges of life. Because it's if we're gloomy and negative, feeling negative, feeling, then, you know, something negative, something problematic comes along and it just has more effect in knocking us down. Whereas if we can have some kind of zest and positive attitude, you know, like looking at things in a good way and trying to see it in a good way. And then he talks about, well, what happens if there were real problems? That was in chapter 26, and to try and see beyond that, to see the spiritual dimension of that. And then there is looking inside one's own heart, as it were. What about bad thoughts? And that's what he's talking about over here, chapter 28. Va'afilu im noiflim loy hihuri taivas, even if thoughts of inappropriate desires, usha machshava zaras, and other foreign thoughts, inappropriate thoughts, fall into one's mind, b'shas avoda, at the time that one is trying to serve Hashem, b'toira or b'tfila b'chavona, either when learning Torah, or when davening, and trying to daven with feeling and thinking about the words one is saying and thinking how one is connecting to Hashem through the davening, and one keeps getting thoughts in one's head about something which just has no place at that particular point. So what about that? And a person might feel very depressed about that. You know, he starts thinking, what kind of person am I? You know, I can't stop thinking about whatever it is. It might be a bad thing they're thinking about, might just be a thing which is inconsequential at that particular moment. And so they realize when they're davening, when they finish davening, they realize that the whole time they were thinking about what they were going to do about a particular situation and them planning for it. And really, they should have been davening, right? Like the rabbi who came over to the people who were in shul and they just finished davening the Shemona Esra. And he said, Shalom Aleichem, Shalom Aleichem. Mm-hmm. This one was here with his mind and that one was there with his mind. You know, so the rabbi was sort of reading him because they'd all been away doing different things. So what should one do? What should one's response be? So Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, Al Yoshis Lev Alein. Don't worry about it. Forget about it. Eilu Yasiach Daito Mehen Korega. Just stop thinking about that thing. Don't worry about the fact that you're thinking about it. See, that's the problem. People think about something inappropriate, and then they start worrying about the fact that they're thinking about something inappropriate. And so they worry about that, and so it just gets more and more tied up in a knot. He's saying, don't worry. Just, you know, move on. Mm. Move on to something else. Mm. And there are many letters from the Rebbe about this issue, by the way. And the Rebbe says, daven from a siddur, and look at the Hebrew words in the siddur, because just seeing the Hebrew words in the siddur has a way of like focusing the mind, and there you've got in front of you these sacred words connecting us with Hashem. Mm. So, you know, don't start thinking, well, if I was really sincere in my prayer, then I wouldn't have thought that how I have to buy a bus pass, otherwise, you know, like all the different things that a person might be.
Yeah. In other words, while they're davening, they're thinking about something completely different instead of actually concentrating on what they're actually there for.
Right.
This is what we've saying.
Right. Yeah. Now, that is a problem, but it's compounded by then worrying about the problem. Mm. You know, just
is that worrying about the problem the Yetzirah, is it? Yeah.
Well, it's very interesting. You see, it's a devious Yetzirah. Because what the Yetzirah wants to do is to tell the person, you know what, because you keep thinking about different things while you're davening, just shows how worthless your davening really is. So maybe you shouldn't bother. See, that's the Yetzirah.
Yeah.
That's... or something like that.
Yeah.
So the problem is being able to face one's own negativity. That's
Yeah, it's a bit like Shabbos, isn't it? You're not supposed to think about anything, or what you're not supposed to plan what you're going to be doing on Monday or Tuesday or next week. Just basically relaxing and concentrating on the day.
Mm.
Not actually thinking about what am I going to do Sunday? Am I going to get there on time? Monday I've got to meet somebody. You're not supposed to be thinking about doing all that. Is that right?
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
It's the same kind of principle.
Yes, you're right. In fact, prayer is like a little bit of Shabbat within each day. Those moments when we're praying is like a little bit of spiritual atmosphere like Shabbat. So then comes a very interesting statement which relates to a rather profound idea in Hasidic thought. V'gam, and also, al yehi shoita, don't be a fool. La'asoik b'ha'alos ha'midos, to be involved in elevating the attributes shel ha'machshav ha'zara, of the inappropriate thought, kanoida, as is known. Okay, now this relates to a whole mystical technique that the early Hasidic texts talk about. And they talk about a thing like this. If a person has in their mind an inappropriate thought, let's say of love, while they're praying, you know where that comes from? That comes from the attribute chesed, kindness and love, from that sphira, from that divine attribute. And so therefore what you do is you connect the thought with its roots in that sacred sphira, and that elevates the thought. And if it's a thought of fear, then it comes from the sphira gvura, severity, and fear. So in other words, there is some kind of system for elevating foreign thoughts. Now, this is really a very, very mystical system, because it has to do with the fact that a Rebbe, a Hasidic Rebbe, is connected with the Jewish people, deeply connected with the Jewish people. And those people, I mean, our Rebbe was, in a sense, he was connected with every single Jew anywhere, and he was concerned about every single Jew, and he sent emissaries to go and look for people. But in general, the general concept of a Hasidic Rebbe, that there's a Rebbe and he has his followers, he has his Hasidim, and there's a bond between him and those Hasidim, and he is trying to help them spiritually. And one of the ways he tries to help them spiritually is that the negative qualities in the life of the Chassid enter the mind of the Rebbe, and the Rebbe has to put that right. And by putting it right in this sort of mystical way, by elevating it to its root. And if it's a problem relating to inappropriate love or something like that, it's there as a concept of love, and that is elevated to its root and is transformed into holiness. And from the point of view of the Chassid, of the follower of the Rebbe, there's been some kind of transformation he's had a tikkun, he's been healed. He came to the Rebbe and told the Rebbe, or maybe he didn't come and tell the Rebbe, but the Rebbe can feel that this person has a problem. This person has a particular kind of spiritual problem, and the Rebbe tries to help that person. And that's a very, very profound aspect of the whole relationship of a Rebbe with Hasidim. And
is it just Hasidim, or I mean, you could come, or if you've got a congregation and the Rebbe, I mean, you wanted to have a word with him and you're in his congregation, you could go along and ask him, can I come along and see you or talk to you about something?
Well, absolutely, yes. I mean, this is really setting a pattern of a very, very close and intense relationship between teachers and those that they're teaching. But this is really a mystical dimension. This is not something that ordinary people are able to follow, are able to imitate. This is something very spiritual. And so the point is that there are Hasidic books published in 1781, 1780, 1781, that kind of thing, which talk about this approach to prayer. So Tanya, which is printed in 1796, so someone can come along and he's read one of these books and he says, oh, if I get an inappropriate thought in my mind in my prayer, you know what I'll do? I will connect it to its root. Mm. Right?
What books are those then?
Well, told us Yaakov Yosef, which is written by, it's the first Hasidic book printed by Rabbi Yaakov Yosef of Polonia, who was a disciple.
What's that in English? Hinglish.
Hinglish. Well, I mean, it's told us, see, Eile told us Yaakov, there's a Sedra, one of the Sedras of the week has told us.
Right.
Eile told us Yaakov, these are the generations of Jacob, Yaakov, or Yosef, and then it talks about Yosef. So, it's actually in Vayeshev, I think. Vayeshev Yaakov Eretz Megurei Aviv, Jacob dwelt in the land where his father has sojourned. Eile told us Yaakov, these are the generations of Yaakov. Yosef ben Shvayesrei Shana, Joseph was 17 years old. So you got the words. Eile told us Yaakov Yosef. So this man's name, who's writing the book, his name's Yaakov Yosef.
Oh.
So he took that as his title, told us Yaakov Yosef. And in that, he gives a lot of teachings from the Baal Shem Tov on almost every page. He says, I heard from my teacher, and everyone knows his teacher is the Baal Shem Tov. I heard from my teacher this, I heard from my teacher that. And so, among those teachings are these teachings about elevating the foreign thoughts in prayer.
And in fact, could this system be applied at other times when you're not davening?
Well, you know, psychotherapists like this idea very much because it makes them feel, see, one of the approaches that a therapist has with a client, so a client comes and tells them how they feel terrible fear or something, well, something like that. Mm. And the therapist, or one approach to therapy is the therapist finds in himself or herself, finds something similar and works through how he would put that right, or she would put that right in herself if she had that problem. And from that, she's able to give advice to the client how to move forward on that thing. You know, so it's a matter you find the tikkun, you find the healing for yourself, and by finding the healing for yourself, you have got the way forward to find the healing for the other person.
To pass it on to the other
person. Right. Now, with the Rebbe, it might be that as a result of some kind of transformation inside himself, he finds the right words to tell the other person and help that other person to make their step forward. Or it might be a completely spiritual interaction that the person doesn't know about consciously. But the fact that he's got a connection with that Rebbe, and the Rebbe can feel that person's problem, and the Rebbe is struggling with that problem.
Is it similar to like, you've been through something, somebody else comes, I said, many times I've said this myself, doctor, I know how you feel, I do say, I've been through it, and I dealt with it this way, maybe it's not exactly, you might not be able to do it, I dealt with it that way, maybe you want to deal with it in another way, but I can pass on to you through my experience how I dealt with that situation.
Yes.
Is that any...
That's there, you know? Susan, on a practical level.
Yeah, I mean, how I dealt with it. It might not be everyone's idea of doing it, but I dealt with that situation
absolutely.
In that way.
And that is how the way we share our experience, and that's then a practical level. But let me tell you a little story about a more kind of mystical level. Yeah. This was, I think it was in the year 1942, and the late Lubavitcher Rebbe, Rabbi Yosef Yitzchak, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he was in America, and it was in the middle of the night. And they noticed, first of all, he's supposed to have gone to sleep, but he didn't go to sleep. He was sitting at a table, and he was somehow shuffling his feet. He was shuffling his feet, and he was saying something. I think what he was saying was the Oz Yosher, the song of the sea, like when the Jewish people went through the Red Sea. He was somehow saying that. He was mumbling that. And he was moving his feet. And people were a bit worried about him. And the next Rebbe, who was his son-in-law, came up and looked at him and said to everyone, "It's all right, don't disturb him, he's fine." And this sort of went on several hours. It later transpired, some months later, some people managed to escape from, or some maybe a long time after, years later, some people came from Europe to America, and it turned out, and they were Hasidim, they were followers of his, and it turned out that just at that time they had been going through a forest and trying to cross the border in Europe somewhere, in occupied Europe, wartime Europe, and he was with them spiritually. And he was trying to help them cross this border, you know. So that's the kind of connection that a Rebbe has with people. That's you know. So that's what it's saying here. I mean, you know, like there's it's a very powerful concept, because that is the sense in which, by us having a connection with the Rebbe, there is a spiritual help to us. I mean, the Rebbe's not, the fact that the Rebbe is in the other world, passed away in 1994, but the soul of a tzaddik, the soul of a righteous person has always always active.
It's God forbid overshadowing, like my mother, my father, they're not here, they're passed away, but spiritually they'll always be with me, and they're always with me.
That's
they're not here in person,
right?
But spiritually they're with me, my mother and father.
Yes, absolutely.
I don't forget them, they're always with me, like, they'll always be with me, my parents. This is the same kind of context that you're
absolutely
talking about the rabbi.
That is why the custom in Lubavitch, we say in the benching, when we say the grace after meals, there's a line where we bless our parents, and we bless them even if they have passed on into the other world. We still bless them because we've still got the connection with them.
It's similar to what you're saying about the rabbi. He's not here, but spiritually he lives on.
Right, and also gives us an input, a positive input. But back to the theme of the person trying to pray or learn Torah and their thoughts getting distracted. So Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, "V'gam al yehishoite, don't be foolish, la'asoik b'ha'alos hamidus, to try to elevate the attributes shel ha'machshav hazara, of the inappropriate thought, kanoida, as is known, that whole system, ki loy ne'emru dvarim ahem, because those words written in those books were not said to ordinary people. Eile the tzaddikim, they were addressed to righteous people, very special people. She'ein noiflim lohem machshav hazara shelahem, they don't get bad thoughts of their own. Ki'im mishal acherim, they get other people's thoughts. because their thoughts in their head are which of a kind which don't fit in with the prayer. They recognize those thoughts, they're coming from other people, and so therefore when he elevates it, he's actually elevating the other person at the same time. But someone who gets his own bad thought from the negative qualities in his heart, in the left hand part of his heart, how can he lift up this thought above? But the person is still tied down below, so how is he going to lift up these he can't lift himself up. You can't lift yourself up. Someone else, I mean, certain things you can lift yourself up, but the way to lift oneself up when one has got inappropriate thoughts in one's mind is simply to forget about them and fill one's mind with something else, difficult as that might be, because we can get obsessive thoughts. We can get obsessive thoughts about different things, and we need to, you see, sometimes the way to deal with thoughts.
Somebody said something to me the other night. I had something on my mind, and it was worrying me, and not especially, but it was just worrying me. A friend of mine, and she said, "Well, forget about that. Let's talk about this year's holiday. We're going on holiday. Forget about that. Let's talk about this. We're going to talk about the holiday now. Forget about that." And I did, and it was really nice. We sat there and talked about this holiday we're going to in August. And that was lovely. She said, "Forget about what you were thinking, you know, before. It was worrying you. Don't let it worry you. Why sit there? Let's talk about this."
Well, that's wonderful. That's the mind controlling the heart.
Yeah. I said, "Right, lovely." She said, "Forget about that. Let's sit down and talk about our holiday in August. And forget about what you were thinking." You go, because the more you dwell on it, the worse it can be. If you dwell on something, it becomes worse.
Uh-huh. Yeah, absolutely. You know, one has to distinguish between thoughts which are useful in order to plan a response or a plan of action, and thoughts which are just going round and round and round and not actually doing anything at all, but just eating into oneself in a negative way. So there we have. Okay, so here we've got this person, and he's got these inappropriate thoughts in his head, and Rabbi Shlomo Zalman is saying, just forget about them, move on to something else, like Susan says. Think about positive things. And since he's davening, he should think about the words of the prayer, or if he's learning Torah, focus on the words of the Torah. You know, a very interesting concept is being where one is. You know, just being where one is. You know the way a child, whatever a child is doing, they're completely focused in that. You know, so if a child's playing with a little toy, they're like so absorbed in that. And then if something else happens, they're absorbed in that. And that is a... whereas very often adults are scattered. We're scattered in all different directions, partly thinking about this and partly worrying about that. You know, people who teach like business organization, you know, try to teach systems that you have all your worries like are carefully collected together in a file manager or something, and therefore you're able to think about what you're doing instead of worrying about what you should have been doing. You know, so just to be able to focus, get back to being like a focused child. And certainly in Hasidic thought, you know, to be where one is, that's a great goal. That is a great goal. And so he's saying, even though you get these bad thoughts when you're trying to daven or learn Torah, don't be depressed about it. To be sad at the time of davening or learning, the time of serving Hashem, because when you're serving God, you should be in great joy. On the contrary, you should be strong, and you should increase your courage and your sense of purpose with all your strength, with focusing on the meaning of the prayer, Bechedva v'simcha yaseda, with tremendous joy and happiness. Now, why? Why should the person who suddenly catches themselves that for the last 3 minutes they've been daydreaming about something or other instead of davening, why should they feel happy? Okay, so he gives us a way. Rabbi Shneur Zalman can always give us a way to look at something in a positive manner. Basumoy alibay, because you can say to your heart, you know what? The fact that this bad thought, this inappropriate thought, whatever it was, came into my mind, it's from the negative dimension which is in the left hand part of the heart, which is making a battle in the heart of the Jew, with his divine soul. I mean, with a tzaddik, he would have transformed his yetzirah, his evil desire, his animal soul. It would have been transformed and it wouldn't be battling with him. But in everyone who's not a tzaddik, and Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, with the beinoni, in fact, most people reading Tanya are less than beinonim, because the beinoni is fully in control. And many people are not fully in control. So the point is that there is a battle which is going on, v'noida inside one, v'noida derech hanilchamim, and it's known that when two people are fighting, v'chein ha-nevokim yachad, two people are wrestling together, k'she'echod miskaber, when one of them gets stronger and seems to be overpowering the other one, then the second one, he fights back with renewed strength, with all his power. For the chain, and therefore, he's giving a very positive perspective over here. Why were you daydreaming and davening? Because your davening was so spiritual. When the divine soul is really struggling and miskaberis lehispalel, and it's succeeding in praying with such a beautiful way, azai gama klipa miskaberis kenegza, then also the negative force takes power and says, you're not going to knock me down, I'm going to plant a thought in your mind, levalbala, to confuse it, ulahapila b'machshava zara, to throw her down, to throw down the soul with a bad thought, shalom. So with this bad thought. So in other words, he's presenting a remarkable way of looking at it, that the fact that the person has bad thoughts in their head is because their pure soul is trying to daven so beautifully that the animal soul is trying every trick it can in order to distract the person with this and with that and with the other. It's a fascinating way of looking at it. And it's based on the idea that there are two contrary forces active in the person at the same time. And part of the whole purpose, I think, you know, of Tanya, as far as when someone is reading and learning Tanya, is to make us aware that there are these two forces. Mm. And then sometimes you can actually, it's like a tangible thing, you can see that there's one force within one pulling one way and another force pulling the other way. It becomes a visible thing within one's own life and heart. So
you often think to yourself, well, shall I do it this way, or maybe I'll do it that way, you know?
Well, be an honest thought thinking, yeah. So Susan, you know, you're not,
you know, you often say, you think, well, I often think to myself, well, I don't know, I could do it this way, or maybe I'll do it that way, I'm not sure.
Yeah, but
I'm
that
not sure whether I want to do it that way, maybe I'll try that way, I don't know, you know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, but either course of action,
yeah,
could be from your best level of motivation. The thing is, what happens if there's a negative, like the opposite? Let's say you think, I'm going to go out to Project L'Chaim to learn with Rabbi Potter. And then you think, no, I'm not going to go, it's raining.
Yes.
As indeed it is.
Yeah.
So at that moment, there's a little battle in one's mind, you know. Should I bother to do this? Should I bother to do that?
But can I say something? I think sometimes also, but if you're interested in something, or if you're really determined to learn, or the subject, or the evening, or the class, or the people, it's an interesting evening. It's something nice to go to, and it's going to be an interesting. You've got nice people there, it's interesting, and you're interested in what you're learning. Then it drives you out more to go. If you're not that interesting, if it becomes boring, if it's not that interesting to you, think, well, maybe I'll leave it this way. Do you know what I'm trying to say? If it's interesting, and it's something you look forward to, and it's a nice evening, and it's a nice atmosphere, you think, well, it's raining a bit, I'm only not that far away, why can't I go? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just the way I look at it, you know. I think if somebody's interested in what they're actually going to do, or what they're going to learn when they get there, or it's going to be an interesting evening, you may put yourself out more to go. If you think it's going to be boring, it's not that vital that I go, it's just,
it's easy to get pulled away from.
That's
a very good point. So the bottom three lines of the page, v'loy katos ha'olam, and not like the mistake that people often make. Shatoyim, this is the mistake they make. Lohoychiach, they try to prove to themselves, because they want to attack themselves. From the fact that they have a bad thought in their mind while they're praying, miklal, that proves she'ein tfilosim klum, that their davening is nothing, it's worthless. She'ilu espalo kuroi v'nochoin, because if he had prayed properly, loy ha'yul noiflim loy machshav azoros, then he wouldn't get bad thoughts. See, now that's like what a person might think. If only I had prayed properly, I wouldn't have had bad thoughts. The fact that I have bad thoughts or inappropriate thoughts in my mind shows I'm not praying properly, and that's a route to start getting depressed with himself. And once a person starts getting depressed in that kind of direction, the whole force of the depression is to pull him further and further and further away. Right? So Rabbi Shneur Zalman says, you know what? V'ha'emes ha'yokadivrayim. It would be true, this way of thinking, oh, if I thought bad things while I'm davening, that shows my davening wasn't worth anything. That would be true im hoiso nefesh achas levada, if there was only one soul inside the person, he amispaleles, and this soul was praying and davening, v'hi amachasheves umahaheres amachshavazora, and it's the same soul thinking about the bad thought. So in other words, it's all one channel of energy, and that channel of energy seems very muddled up because it is praying and it's also thinking about how I'm going to buy the travel card or something like that. So it's like it's muddled up. Avol be'emes la'amitoy, but in fact, I want to tell you, says Rabbi Shneur Zalman, hein shtei nefoshes, it's two different souls, hanilchomo zuim zu, and they're battling one with the other, b'moichoi shel odom, in the mind of the person, kol achas cheftzo retzoino, and each one wants limshol boy, to rule the person, v'liyois hamoyach mumulam mimena levada, that the mind should be completely filled with the energy from that particular soul, whether it is the divine soul or, God forbid, the animal soul. So that's what is pushing us, and so therefore the divine soul is pulling one way towards prayer and being close to Hashem, and the animal soul is pulling the other way into the shops or wherever it might be. So there is the struggle that the person faces, and with the help of Hashem, that's the situation God puts us in. And so we just have to face that situation and bat the ball back as best we can.
Okay, that makes sense.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
All the great.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you. What I want to ask is, why does it always seem that there's two groups of people? There's either ones that's down on themselves and got negative thoughts about their own whatever, and there's the other lot who think they're it. And there seems to be those, and you very rarely meet people in the middle people are either terribly depressed and down on themselves and think they're worthless, or they think they're the best thing that ever happened in life, and they can't understand why you can't see that. And just to meet a normal person who is sort of modest and yet got their own self-esteem in the right place, those people are very rare to find.
Well, I'm looking at two of them now.
I think maybe there's more about, I don't know, I've met a lot of down-to-earth people, actually. I mean, with some people, but I think sometimes people that think a lot of themselves, in actual fact, they do that because they're inadequate.
They're so depressed.
They're inadequate anyway. They're so depressed anyway, they're inadequate anyway. They think they are because they don't know any better.
So what you're really asking, Tara, is why do people have problems?
No.
Oh, gosh.
Why? See, this is talking about,
I know what
don't
means.
Go down into your negative depression, because you're just going to a spiral.
I know what you mean, though.
And at the same time, they've got the evil impulse and the two divided... it's not the Yetzer Tov, is it? It's the spiritual...
Well, in a sense, it's the Yetzer Tov and the Yetzer Hara. It's the good desire and the bad desire. But the way that Rabbi Shneur Zalman talks about them, and the terminology he uses, is much more subtle. It's the divine soul and the animal soul. Not everything that the animal soul wants is wrong. No. It's just that it wants it in an animal sort of way. In fact, many of the things the animal soul wants are quite positive things, but one has to realize that it's the animal soul and realize where its limitations are. At the lower end of the scale, the animal soul acts as what we call the evil desire, which actually wants to make a person do something that is wrong in some way. But the animal soul in itself is like the normal side of the person, and the divine soul is the inspired dimension.
But going with your theory, okay, so that the people who think the most of themselves are the ones who actually have got the lowest self-esteem.
Yeah, because they're inadequate anyway. They've
but it doesn't matter whether it's that way round or the other way round. It's still two opposites.
I know, what,
round,
you mean, I know what you mean. You say that people are depressed.
Just to me, either you meet two people who are depressed, they might be the clever ones, okay, who really see the world as it is and see themselves as they are with all their inadequacies.
Yeah.
And that might be the good person. Yeah. And there's the other ones that you claim are probably the ones who've got the even lower self-esteem and think even less of themselves than the people who are outwardly depressed.
They put that kind of act on. A lot of people pretend that they're very top and that they're this, that and the other. If you bake them down a bit, you sometimes find out they're not actually. It's just, it can be a bit of an act as well. So I've come across that as well. People sometimes put themselves on a pedestal, or not actually. It's just the way they are. They like to try and pretend that they're like that. In actual fact, they're not.
But either way, it seems to be a lot of extremes, and not
I know what you mean.
Middle way people.
Sort of like the middle of the road kinds of people.
I see it, you know, like it's as if there's gradations, you know, that, and so. We might be dragged one way at one point and another way the other point, and we sort of manage to get a middle path at another, you know. I don't see it exactly as types of people. It's more, you see, the kind of person he's talking about is someone who is not a tzaddik. So not a tzaddik, it's a whole world. There's a whole lot of different varieties of that, and the way that that can show itself. So it's not, you know, it's not just two groups. Each person is really a unique individual with their own challenges and their own problems, much of which will fit into whichever chapter of Tanya you open up. Mm. You know, it's a description of some aspects of everyone. That's some point. Hi.
I'm sorry. Have you got the key to the building?
Yes.
You've got it?
Yes.
So I'll just tell him from, because he asked me, he said he doesn't have one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So that's right. So I'll go and tell you. You'll be teaching after him then. You're not up.
Yeah. Well, we're all going
finished
now.
Yeah, we're finished. Now. Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Thank you. It's a subject you could just talk
about. Yeah, you're right. About.